Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to The Light of Portland with Pastor Sherelle. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherelle live in Portland.
Look around. Tell me what you see. Nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names, illiterate and unable to read, not even the Bible. Look around. Tell me what you see. Earthquakes, natural and man-made disasters, political unrest, famine, war, poverty, and disease all around us. The truth of God being trampled and Jesus being scorned by a world in desperate need to encounter Him. Tell me, what do you see? Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And Jesus Christ, the only answer for the world, lives in you and moves through His body, the church. Yet the world says that the church is losing its influence. This cannot be, not on our watch. May the eyes of this generation be opened. 1/6 of the world's population is hungry. Half of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day. Half of all the children in the world live in poverty. More children die from drinking bad water than HIV, AIDS, and malaria combined. And water is the most abundant resource on the planet. Look around. What do you see? Church, how will we respond?
Romans 8:28 said, "For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose."
Sometimes the twists and turns of life's road seem hard to manage. The weight of it all seems hard to bear. Each time I fall, God's grace covers it all, reminds me that I'm in His care. I am fully persuaded, nothing lost, nothing wasted, every tear has its purpose. The guilt of yesterday. Oh, oh, oh. Destiny.
works of the Lord. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When I passed by you, and I saw you bleeding, and I saw you crying, and I saw you hurting, God said, live.
Hallelujah. God said live and live on a purpose. Despite of all of the challenges and the things that are happening in this world, we must decide to live life on purpose. We must decide to make a difference. We must decide to make an impact. We must decide to make the world a better place. We need to not only be in prayer and in fasting for change in this world and for unity of the body of Christ, but we also must put faith and action to work so that we can be about our Father's business and making a change and a difference. Good evening and good evening and good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington. We're live here in Portland, Oregon, and it is a great day in the body of Christ. Why? Because you woke up this morning, because God called your name, because God decided that there was work yet still here for you to do on this side of Jordan. And because of that, it is a great and wonderful day of the Lord, and we shall give him glory, honor, and praise. I'm excited to give God honor and praise and to lift him up and magnify him. I'm excited about what he's doing here in Portland, Oregon. I am grateful to the Butterfields that provide us with this platform all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, opened up the byways and the doorways so that we can have the light of Portland here, so that there can be light shining in the darkness, so that there could be a city set on a hill right here in Portland, Oregon, so that men may see and know that there is the Lord that sits high and reaches down low, and that he still has his mind on Portland, Oregon, and those that dwell therein. And so I am grateful to the Butterfields for this platform. I bring greetings to Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the head of presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Fellowship Covenant Ministries, and to Bishop Belinda Campbell, who is one of my spiritual mothers and covering, to my very own mother, and to every pastor, elder, minister, leader, church, the body of Christ, we welcome you. And we are grateful that you decided to make Light of Portland, the Light of Portland broadcast, part of your evening worship. And we pray that you will continue to grow, join us and fellowship with us each and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. as we lift up the name of the Lord and magnify him. There are things that is going on right here in Portland, Oregon, that you need to be aware of so that you can prepare yourself to join with the unity of faith and be a part of what is happening in Portland, Oregon, making a change and an impact for the world to see. Amen. I want you all to be aware that Lent is fastly approaching. Ash Wednesday is coming up on Valentine's Day. Wednesday, February the 14th, marks the first day of Ash Wednesday of Lent. And so Lent, if those of you that participate and allow the Lord to see that you are willing to sacrifice yourself on behalf of the Lord, whether it's turning down your plate, turning off the TV, turning off social media, just giving up something for 40 days from February the 14th to March the 30th, and then Resurrection Sunday is on April the 1st, and we don't want to miss what God has in store for us this Resurrection Sunday, and what an impact and a power comes with after you have turned down your plate for 40 days, after you've turned your back on TV for 40 days. What God does is just truly amazing. And to experience that coupling with resurrection being on Sunday is just a powerful, powerful thing to happen here in 2018. And I don't know about you, saints of God, but I want to be a part of it. And then here in Portland, Oregon, is a Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church located at 3605 Northeast Mallory. Will have their spring revival April the 6th through the 8th at 7 p.m. each evening. And Bishop-elect Joseph Hall will be their guest speaker. So that's April the 6th through the 8th, spring revival for Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church with Pastor Kimberly Black. And then on April the 20th through the 22nd, we will have the Woman You Can't Come Down conference, which our theme is Distinction is in You. Myself, Light of Life Christian Tabernacle, and Supervisor Laverne Martin will be hosting Woman You Can't Come Down conference April the 20th through the 22nd at Vancouver Avenue First Baptist Church, located at 38 North Vancouver Avenue. If you would like to come to the conference or sponsor a woman to come to the conference, just go to the website www.flagsofworship.com, www.flagsofworship.com. Click on the conference tab. All the information is there for you. And then lastly, we don't want to forget that our National Day of Prayer is coming up on Thursday, May 3rd. And so we need to come together as the body of Christ and begin to fast and to pray on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our ministries, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the world. We come together on May the 3rd, Thursday, and we begin to pray together as one body. And so I'm excited about what God is doing and what God has to do in my life and in the life of each one of you. And so tonight I'm looking forward to the word of God coming from a man of God that is excited about God, that's excited about serving the Lord, that is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, knowing it is the power of love unto salvation to everyone who believes it. And so tonight we want to make sure that we are attentive to what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And so before Minister Mullen comes on the air tonight, I want to go to God in prayer. Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are just in awe of you, God. You are the great Jehovah Jireh. You are, Father, the great I Am. You are the Prince of Peace, Father. You are the lover of my soul, Father. And we just glorify you tonight. We ask, oh God, that you would come in and sup with us on tonight. Bring us a word that will be life-changing, oh God. Bring us a word, Lord God, that will edify the body of Christ and that will get us to live on a purpose, oh God, that would allow us, oh God, to do the work of ministry and that our mind would be set to do what you've called for us to do, oh God. Help us to not play church, oh God, but to really be about our Father's business, oh God. Give us a fire, oh God, as Jeremiah had the fire shut up in his bones, Father. Give us the fire to run and do the work of the Lord. God, put our hands to the plow, oh God. And we pray, oh God, that you would open our hearts, that we would receive your word, oh God. And then we pray, Lord God, that you would help help us, oh God, not to just be hearers of the word, oh God, but become doers of that which you've given unto us to do, oh God. We pray right now for the man of God, and we ask right now in the name of Christ Jesus that you would prepare a word in his bosom, oh God, that you would allow him to be the river of living water flowing, oh God, from his mouthpiece, oh God. We pray, oh God, that he has heard from you, oh God, and we ask right now, Father, that you would set him on fire for you, oh God. Allow him, oh God, to rise up and speak what thus saith the Lord, oh God. Let this be good ground, oh God. Let this be anointed ground, Lord God. Let this be Holy Ghost-filled ground, oh God. Let each one that is on this line, oh God, begin to lift their hands and worship you tonight, oh God. Let them call upon you as their own Lord and Savior tonight, oh God. Let there be a difference tonight, oh God. Let them challenge themselves to do something different, Lord God, outside of what they normally would do, walking in faith, oh God, and being about, Lord God, you, oh God, and pushing away everything in their life that doesn't represent you. Lord God, we honor you tonight. We praise and magnify you tonight. We glorify you, God, in the name of Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord Father, hallelujah and amen. And Minister Mullins, I have you live on the air.
God bless you, Pastor Cheryl. Thank you for this opportunity. Pastor as well, Pastor James Walter Hill II. Thank God for him who allowed us to be used in the kingdom and just don't hold us at home. And our church is located in North Portland. God has just been doing some phenomenal things and revealing himself not only to us, but to the body of Christ, even in a time where the devil is using even our political society and their agendas to discourage the kingdom of God, and using other entities to discourage the message that we have. But this is the time to dig in and even know even more for sure within your soul and even more within your spirit that the message that we have is what the world needs. Our message of hope, Jesus Christ, is what the world needs. I want to talk to you today about the name of Jesus. I think sometimes we get caught up in different things outside of our foundation of Christianity. And our foundation of Christianity has to do with our faith in Jesus Christ. How many know there's something about that name, Jesus? Let's go to Philippians 2:9-11. Philippians 2:9-11 for those that are following along. And it reads, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so everyone under the sound of my voice this evening possesses a name. Your name might be given to you at the time of birth or at some other point in your life. Perhaps you were named after a family member or a special heartfelt connection or moment in time. Or your given name may be of no special significance at all. That's okay. Nonetheless, names are given to us by our parents or our loved ones. And sometimes they mean something, but sometimes we're just given a name to suit the special moment or of our birth. But in our text, we are told of a name which has great significance. Yeah, you can list the names of life most famous war heroes or orators or drum majors for justice or political leaders or presidents could reach up and write the name of one that when he speaks, the winds and the waves obey his voice, and that name is Jesus. That's the name that is above all names. I simply come to lift him up on tonight because that's what the world needs to hear. And so there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, is a special name because in Matthew, the first chapter, the 21st verse, it was a name chosen by his father. Mary, who was his mother, was espoused to Mary Joseph, but when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph did not select his name. It's a special name. His name was given to him by his, not by his earthly father, but by his heavenly father. And the Bible said, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, or Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus simply means Jehovah is salvation. And what does that mean? That means that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins. The very mention of his name means salvation. And so Jesus is a portrait of God the Father. God does not love us because Jesus died for us, but Jesus died for us because God loves us. He took our place on the cross. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Somebody say amen. And so there's power in the name. Power in that name, Jesus. There's salvation in that name. There's hope in that name. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's joy unspeakable in that name. Peace in that name. Everything that the believer needs is in that name. And so whatever you need is in the name of Jesus. It's a life-giving name. It's a sin-killing name. I don't know if you've ever been bound in sin. The things that you want to do, or things that you don't want to do, you end up doing. Because something in your gut, in your belly is drawing you to sin. But how many know that Jesus, the name of Jesus, is a sin-killing name. It's a devil-chasing name. It's a demon-killing name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Somebody say amen. And so wherefore, the text says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, what did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, cross. Lord, help us to live a life of humility and obedience to you. Because there's some stuff that we need to die to daily. There's some stuff that we need to kill in our lives. There's some relationships that are dragging us down. And there are some things that are counterproductive in our lives that we need to kill and start the process of attracting positive energy in our lives. I'm telling you, you need to plead the blood of Jesus over your life every chance that you get. When I call on the name of my wife, Donna, I'm telling you, I sure enough feel something in my bones But when I call on the name of Jesus, I feel something deep down in my soul. There's just something about that name. I'm getting happy just thinking about it. When I was growing up, there were certain names of churches that were credited for having some good old church. And likewise, there were names of men and women of God that were household names, because every time they stood to give a word from the Lord, you knew they were going to preach the unadulterated gospel. Why? Because they were not ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. They were not ashamed to proclaim the matchless name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, on tonight, that's what we're going to proclaim. Jesus is the answer for the world today. There's something about that name. A true believer just can't sit still or hold their peace at the mention of the name of Jesus. Something starts burning and bubbling on the inside. Tongues begin to stammer in praise. And your feet, the song says, your feet starts to get light. And you start to get a dance in your feet. Why? Because if your back has ever been up against a wall, and you called on the name of Jesus and he came to your rescue, or if you ever been down to your last dime and he never let you go lacking or begging for bread, or whenever you hear that name, which is above every name, something stirs up down on the inside. Because you know he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. You could testify that you know him for yourself, and you know that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. If you were lost, strung out, or on your way to hell, and Jesus turned you around and placed your feet on solid ground, I'm telling you, I was in the church lost, on the organ, playing the music, but still lost. But now I have a relationship with God. My life has turned around. My focus has turned around. God has placed my feet on solid ground. And at the mention just of his name, I can't hold my peace. For it is a special name. And number two, and then brothers and sisters, it is a stainless name. There's no sin associated with that name. There's no blemish associated with that name. There's no bad reputation associated with that name. If I called a few names, you know, it's Black History Month, Martin Luther King Jr., Harriet Tubman, George Washington Carver, Thurgood Marshall, Langston Hughes, Rosa Parks, Maya Angelou, Malcolm X, Frederick Douglass, President Barack Obama, just to name a few, infamous and famous because of their name. But either infamous or famous, there's some sin associated with those names. And there is no salvation in those names. Walk with me through the scriptures and help me call some infamous and famous names. David, Enoch, Job, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, Rahab, Ruth, Mary, Deborah, Hannah, Tabitha, Malachi, Zephaniah, Amos, Daniel, and John the Baptist, just to name a few. But there is no salvation in those names. All of them died, but when they died, come on somebody, nothing happened because their names died with them. But on a Friday, on a skull-shaped hill and a blood-soaked cross, Jesus, that's the name that I'm trying to get to, when he died, something happened. I said, when he died, something happened. To 27th chapter of Matthew, we notice that when he died, the temple veil that covered the entrance of the holies of holies, the actual dwelling place of God among the people, was torn in two from top to bottom. And when he died, a huge earthquake shook the land, and the whole earth cried out for the death of our Savior. And when he died, graves opened up, and the saints came out and testified. And after the resurrection, they appeared to many people in verse 52 and 53. And when he died, lives were changed. Folk began to realize who Jesus really was. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. And they said, surely he was the Son of God. Well, it is a special name. And secondly, it is a stainless name. But finally, it is a saving name. Bible says, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. I know we call them all kind of other names, but I just call him Jesus. My mother's Jesus. My grandmother's Jesus. My father's Jesus. Your Jesus. My Jesus. I don't know if there's anybody here that knows him for yourself. And I know if you're not afraid or ashamed, not ashamed to be a witness, you can be a witness that God is real and that you know Jesus. I hope that you have tried him for yourself. But if you don't know him, let me introduce you to my Jesus. He's the lily of the valley. I know some of y'all can help me preach it. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the prince of peace. He's a rock in a weary land. And he's a shelter in the time of storm. He's a friend when you're friendless. He's bread when you're hungry. And he's water when you're thirsty. Do you know him? Have you tried him for yourself? But I just call him Jesus. Jesus. I dare you to call his name Jesus. Early in the morning, Jesus. Late in the midnight hour, Jesus. There's power in that name. Do you know him? Have you tried him for yourself? I know he's all right. Won't he save you? Won't he wash you? Won't he deliver you? Won't he redeem you? Won't he pick you up and turn you around? Place your feet on solid ground. I'm a living witness. I just love to call the name Jesus. It's something that happens on the inside when you call the name Jesus. Demons tremble when you call the name Jesus. There's power in the name Jesus because he died. And bright early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hands. All power in his hands. There's a song that says there is a name that I love to hear. I love to sing of its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. It's the sweetest name on earth. And then the song goes on to say, oh, how I love Jesus. You can't say you love Jesus until you have a relationship with Jesus. I've learned, I'm getting more fond of Jesus as I'm walking with him. I'm not just naming the name of Jesus. I'm not just talking about it. I'm not just going to church, going through the motions, but I'm walking with him during the week. I admonish you to walk with Jesus during the week. Walk with him. Call on him. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life. That's what the world needs to see. The world doesn't need to see or hear what you have to say. They need to see how you are walking with Christ and the benefits that you have walking with Christ. There are things that don't even bother us that are walking with Christ as much as it would if we didn't have Christ in our lives. The Temptations put it this way. They said, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? There's an overwhelming peace that comes with knowing Christ. There's an overwhelming peace that surpasseth all understanding from knowing Christ, from walking with Jesus. And I admonish you today to walk with him. If you don't know him, get to know him. If you don't know him, get into his word. Read his word. Get to know Jesus. Jesus has come to save. Jesus has come to heal. I don't know if I've shared enough of my testimony, but God has healed my body from a heart condition that I've had. And sometimes it's through adversity and things that we go through that we get closer to God and that we begin to call on Jesus even the more. 2 years ago, my heart began to fail me. I had 18% ejection fraction in my heart. Anybody that knows anatomy knows that the apex of my heart was dead. That's the bottom of my heart. It was dead tissue, and it was not pumping. But I can stand here, I can tell you 2 years later, my heart is now at 50, 55%. I've had no defibrillators. My blood pressure is lower than ever. It's so low now that I have to do things to try to bring it up. But I said that to say this, that Jesus is a healer. He may not come when we want him, but he's always on time. When you walk with Jesus, your faith builds as you walk with him day by day. So I pray right now that everybody under the sound of my voice that has not walked with Jesus, you've been on the fence and you're trying to figure out if you want to take that step to take Jesus' hand and walk with him. It's the best thing that I've ever done. I've tried other relationships. I've tried other vices. But walking with Jesus is the best thing, the song says, that I ever done. It says, in his arms I feel protected. In his arms I feel protected. When you walk with Jesus, you're walking under the shadow of his almighty wings. He covers you. He comforts you with his Holy Spirit. I thank God for Jesus, and I pray that I've helped somebody fall in love with Jesus and walk with Jesus this week. Take these words, this message, this admonishment to get closer to Jesus, even in this Lent season, as we're giving some things up so that we may spend more time with God. That you would sacrifice some time to learn of him and walk with him. I guarantee you it'll be the best thing, decision that you will ever make. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jesus is the best decision that you will ever make, Minister Mullins. And
yes.
That as you were ministering the word of God, the scripture that came to me is Psalms 112 that says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights
yes.
greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches
yes.
will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious
yes.
and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and leads. He will guide his affairs with discretion." And it continues
yes.
on. But the whole time that you were ministering that at that name of Jesus, and with that is that personal relationship that gets to know the Lord as being their everlasting peace, and their life begins to be blessed because
yes.
they know to call on the name of Jesus. And we have a little bit of time, and so I would like for you to talk about, because you talked about your heart and the condition of your heart, and you
yes.
haven't given that full testimony on the broadcast, so I would like for you to do that. 7 of that scripture talks about the heart being steadfast, trusting in the Lord, and I want you to talk
yes.
to the people that are tuned in tonight about being steadfast with our heart and trusting in the Lord.
Let me say this before I say that. Sometimes with adversity, we begin to make promises to God, some that we keep and some that we don't keep. But as I was laying, actually, I was going to visit my aunt in the hospital. She had a quadruple bypass. And as I was going back to the car, I could barely make it up the hill to the car, and they had to rush me back to the ER. And they admitted me in the hospital. And that's when I found out what condition my heart was in. So I'm in the hospital room with, you know, on the floor with people that are twice my age, and I'm concerned. But I still had a peace. And I made a pact with God. I made a promise to God that if he would get me out of this and heal my body, that I would do whatever he wanted me to do. And I knew that I was called to the ministry, but I was still dabbling on the fence in sin. I still haven't given my heart, my whole heart, to doing what the Lord had called me to do. But I made that promise to the Lord. And long story short, I'm here, and I'm sharing the gospel. I'm spreading the gospel. So when you talk about serving God with your heart and your heart being fixed and trusting in the Lord, sometimes you just got to walk with him. Sometimes you just got to trust him with whatever your situation is. My situation just happened to be my health. Then my other situation had to do with sins that were too heavy for me to remove. So I had to trust God with my sins and my addictions to pornography and my addictions to satisfying myself and the things that I thought I needed. I had to trust God with that. I had to fix my heart on what God wanted, God's purpose for my life. And I had to fix my heart on what God purposed for me, which was to love his people. It takes a heart that loves God and a heart that loves God's people to serve God's people. Because by nature, sometimes we're just selfish and we don't want to give as much. But God is requiring, he said, to much is given. Much is required. So you have to have a heart that's fixed on God's plan for your life. And then trusting in God. You have no other recourse. You have to trust God. And you have to be obedient to God. It's a daily walk. In my daily walk, it's I'm dying to stuff daily. Once I'm obedient to something, I conquer something. There's always something else that I have to conquer. But I can't do it by myself. I have to trust in God. I have to, when I'm weak, the Bible said he's made strong in my weakness. And in my human frailty, I can make up my mind to do something. But if my mind is not made up, if my heart is not fixed to follow Christ and to obey Christ and to be a vital part of the kingdom, then it's not going to work. So we have to be sold out to the purpose of God for our lives. And we have to love people.
Amen. Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. And though sometimes trusting in the Lord comes with challenges because of
it
our
does.
Naturalness. Because of our flesh, because of the humanistic
yeah.
side of us, sometimes it comes with challenges and it comes with a struggle. And sometimes, Minister Mullins, I know that we have to pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yes. There's so much doubt. There's so much
yeah,
doubt. Everywhere we look, everything is anti-God. Nobody wants to wait on God. Everybody wants everything in a quick and in a hurry, but sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. His timing is not our timing. He doesn't go off Chronos time. He's the creator of time. So we have to abide in his time and trust in him.
Amen. Absolutely. And so what I would like for you to briefly hit on is at the beginning of Psalms 112, and I'm still in Psalms 112, it says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And most
yeah.
of us vacillate between whether or not we're supposed to follow the Ten Commandments because we're under
yeah.
grace now. And so how does that look? If we're under grace, do we keep the commandments? Because the Bible talks about us keeping the commandments, and it also talks about us, if we live by the law, we'll die by the law. So I want you to just talk about how we delight greatly in his commandments.
It could be controversial, but the commandments are not to be done away with. We have been commanded to not eat of certain things. There's a purpose for that. You can't just say you're under grace and eat whatever you want, because why? It's killing us, whatever we want to eat. We still have to be obedient to God's commandments. We can't just murder or kill whenever we want to, because why? There are consequences to not obeying God's commandments. But what God is saying, through grace, we can obtain favor with the Lord, and we can't do all these do's and don'ts on our own. That's evident. If we try to do all this on our own, we would fail every time. It's only God's grace and mercy that helps us with him and be obedient to his commandments. His commandments, I always say, is not just what's written in the law. It's whatever he tells you to do. God shares things with us that we need to be obedient. He shares things about our health. He shares things about our relationships. He commands us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But through grace and mercy, that's how we do it. We can't do all these things within our flesh. It's been proven and proven. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I'll forget the commandment. Some commandments are forward and some are very detailed. But there's things in the commandments, in the Ten Commandments, that will sustain life and sustain our relationship with God. So we can't do away with the Ten Commandments, but we are under grace, as it were.
Amen. And so, and also he says that when Jesus came in, he said, as you mentioned, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you just keep those two commandments, then you will fulfill all ten
those
commandments.
Those are the greatest. Yes.
You'll
right.
fulfill them, because if you do your neighbor as you would want being done unto you, and doing it in love, then you wouldn't lie, you wouldn't murder, you wouldn't covet, you wouldn't do
right.
those things, because love does not do those things. And so even though we are under grace right now, keeping his commandments is easy when you just keep the two.
Yes.
And
love is the catalyst. I mean,
absolutely.
Everything we do is powered by love. I can't just say I love you. I have to show that I love you. Same thing with our relationship with God. We have to show him how much we love him by our obedience towards what he wants us to do and what he commands us to do.
Right, because when we have love for each other, and that's just the backdrop, if we have love for each other and if we have love for the Lord, we're going to desire to keep his commandments, and we're going to desire
yes.
to live uprightly before him. We're going to desire to be loving to our neighbors and to our family, and to do the things that won't cause harm to one another. And so
yes.
and it is at the name of Jesus, as we circle back to the word that you brought this evening, as we succumb to the name of Jesus, we begin to understand that, as you said, that there were sins, or are sins, that were in your life that you had to come back to Jesus and to say, Father, this sin is too great for me
yes.
to get rid of on my own. And I need you to minister about that just a little bit, please.
You know, you hear a lot when they say I was sinking deep in sin. I like it. I liken it unto that. It's like being in a pit, and you're reaching up for somebody to save you. You're reaching up for somebody to grab your hand, and sometimes you grab a hold of them a little bit. You get a little victory, but then you slip back down in the pit. But until we make up our mind, till we totally give up what we're trying to hold on to, totally give it to Jesus, that's when he reaches down into that pit where we are. And he takes our hand and grabs us and lifts us out of that pit. Now, once we're out of that pit, now anybody in their right mind don't want to go back to that pit. It's such a place of defeat. Sin is such a place of defeat. And once you have the victory, once you turn it all over to God, you want to keep that victory. And the only way that you can keep the victory is to keep walking with him, to keep talking with him, to keep sharing the name of Jesus with others, to share your testimony. You don't have to give all of it, but you can fashion your testimony to give glory to God. You can fashion your testimony that it would be uplifting to other people. You can fashion it so it will boost other folks' faith that are sinking deep in sin or still straddling the fence. But it's a place of victory. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace when you don't have to sink back into those old routines of sin, those old habits of sin. Christ came and Jesus loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. We don't have to hold on to our sins. We can give them all over to God. And sometimes you have to keep giving them over to God. Sometimes the devil will keep rearing up his ugly head. You know, he won't give up. There's people that come into our lives that we have to kind of let go. If they don't mean us no good, the devil can use other people to kind of bring those things back into our lives. But we have to guard our spirit once God has delivered us against those things. And there's power in the name of Jesus. I'm a living witness that there is power in the name of Jesus. If he can deliver me, if he can deliver all the Christians in the world that's already saved and name in the name of Christ, he can deliver you that are unsaved. He can deliver anybody that call upon the name. He said, first you must come to him believing that he is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross for your sin, and thou shalt be saved. All you've got to do first is believe in Christ, and you shall be saved. That's the first step. And then you have to give everything that you're holding on to. I know it's easy to hold on to a lot of stuff because it feels good. It's comfortable. It feels good to the flesh, but the spirit is wanting more of Christ. And that's what we come to tell you on tonight. Get a hold of Jesus.
Amen. And so tonight, if you're on the line and you have a sin that is a challenge to you, if you've been trying to live a life for Christ, but there is something that is continuing to pull you back into those things that you used to do. Minister Mullins and I are admonishing you to pray that prayer that you have the ability to go to Christ and go to the Lord boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah. And you ask the Lord to take that sin away from you because it is more than you can get rid of on your own. And the name of Jesus can make anything change. Anything that is too hard for you, the Lord can do. And so Minister Mullins tonight has brought you the word of God saying that at the name of Jesus, just don't pray your own name. Don't pray your spouse's name, but at the name of Jesus, God will begin to make things happen. Holy Spirit is listening to your prayers, and he will allow the words that you pray to be taken to the throne of grace, and the shift will begin to take place in your life. So I'm going to pray for you all tonight, and I pray that you have been blessed by the word of God, and I pray that you will continue to let broadcast be a part of your life each and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Shall we pray? Gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to call upon the name of Jesus. To know that, Lord God, we don't have to do anything in our own might, in our own power, in our own strength, Father. But because we can call on the name of Jesus and in his strength and in his power, all things change, God. And so tonight we put all of our sins and all of our grief and all of our pain before the throne of God. And we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to remove them from us, oh God, to take away, Lord God, that which hinders us from being able to connect with you fully. And we pray, Lord God, that you would forgive us of all our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, oh God, that you may be able to use us some kind of way for the upbuilding of your kingdom, that you might be glorified. We give you glory, honor, and praise tonight. And so I pray that the Lord would bless each and every one of you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you, giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. Thank you for the word of God, Minister Mullen. And we all look forward to having you all back here with us next Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Thank you for tuning in, and good night.